All right, Rabbosai, good morning. Today's daf is Nun Gimel. We are going to pick up, thank you to today's sponsors, to Gedalia and Donna Rosenblum for dedicating the shiur this morning in memory of Gedalia's mother, Rachel Bas Meir. We hope that the merit of our Talmud Torah and Shem will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. And of course, a thank you to our Talmud Torah sponsors of the month of Kislev, Josh and Becca Friedman, Le'ilu Nishmas, Josh, his father Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafael, and Semi and Malka Estes in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Le ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch, and Hinda Bas Hinech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah, and the families in the Chama. With that, today's daf is Nun Gimel. We're going to pick up on Nun Beis. Nun Beis, thank you to Rabbi Huda for giving the shir. Yesterday, we're actually just going to start a little bit earlier than where we left off, which is at the Mishnah. Let's just re-begin at the Mishnah a little bit, just to begin the sugya together. So says the Mishnah, Hara Nun Beis Amud Beis, 52b, the Mishnah. We'll go quickly. Hara Kasem. So we'll say, so the case over here in the Mishnah is if a woman goes out and sees a Kasem. Situation over here of Kasem, of course, as we discussed before, is a situation where a woman finds a stain of blood on her clothing. So what is the halacha? Rezem mikul keles. So the Mishnah says, ultimately, again, she is in a state of a bit of confusion. Mikul keles means there's a state of halachic confusion which is created. Look at Rashi. Rezem mikul keles. Eino yoda'as pesach nidusa. Leida masa yaschilu yud alif yom shebein nida lenida. Dehalo yoda imas chazoi. So as I say, the issue over here is she's not exactly sure. Remember, again, as we've seen, although we'll see this even more tomorrow, that the way that the cycle works is a 7-11 cycle, 7 days of nidos, next 11 days of potential zivos, which means that if she bleeds during those 7 days, she's a nida. She bleeds during those 11 days, she is a zava. The issue with the kesem, of course, is she may not be sure, or she's not sure exactly when that kesem came about. And as such, again, is not exactly sure what the beginning of her nida cycle is. So the Mishnah goes on. V'choshesh mishum zov, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, ultimately, she has to be choshesh because of zova as well. Look at Rashi. Choshesh mishum zov. Im avra la gimel mimei ziva, mishalav shechaluk zeh. If 3 days of her zivos has passed by since she has put on this particular garment, umatza alav kesem gadol shir gimel grisin vaod, and she finds on this garment a stain that is the size of more than 3 grisin. A gris, remember again, is the minimum size, ultimately again, of a kesem, for which it is problematic. Just for illustration purposes, a gris is approximately the size of a penny. So if she finds the size, a stain, that is the size of 3 grisin and more, Rashi says, Misapkina luhu, the issue is, if she sees a stain that is more than the size of 3 grisin, there is the possibility that halacha lamaisa, that is really 3 independent stains that just came about on the same part of the garment. And in fact, again, that would be 3 ri'os during her yemei zivos. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. The chacham say, in general, ksamim only pose a problem for hilchos nida, do not pose a problem for zivo. So says the Gemara, man chachamim, who is the opinion of the chachamim? Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Omer, ksamim ein ba mishum zov. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says that ksamim, Rabbi will say, do not factor into the halachos of zivos. So the din of ksamim, the din of stains, is a din in hilchos nida, is not a din in hilchos zivos. However, upamim shak samim mevi'in lidei ziva. But sometimes, samim can lead one to zivos. How so? Ketzad. Lav shegimul chalukos habedukos la. If a woman wore 3 different garments and each of them were bedukos, which means she examined the garments before she wore them, and there was no blood in any of those garments. First, why the boss in the bottom of Nun Beis and Beis? Umatza la kesem, and then she finds a kesem on it. Oh, shera'asa beis yamim b'chalok echa. So we'll say, case number one is where she wore 3 garments, each of them were checked, and found blood on each of those garments. Case number two is ultimately, again, she has 2 days of re'ios, 2 days of actual emissions, and then what? Chalok echa. And then on one of the garments she finds a stain. What's the halacha? Hein heinak suma vili deziva. Ultimately, again, these are situations where stains could bring her to a state of zivus, to which the Gemara says, Hashta shlosha chalukos telav migufa kachazio, chashinon. If you're going to be choshish, ultimately, again, for zivus, in a case of three stains on three garments. But I will say, when it says the lav migufa means this is not an emission, but rather it's a stain. So ultimately, again, would you need to even state the case of where she had two re'ios and then one stain on the bedika, that those would combine together to form a potential zivus? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we need them. Ma'udetema, kol ki ay gavna mevia karban v'ne'achal. I might have thought that when the Bryce over here says that it brings her to a state of zivus, that it brings her to a definitive state of zivus, as defined by the fact that she will observe Shibin Akim and then bring a karban that is consumed at the end of her zivus. Kamash Malano. Kamash Rabbo said that all of these cases are suffix zivus, right? And any of these situations ultimately, again, are suffix. Amar Rabba. So Rabba said, Baha, Zachinu Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus Rabbanan. In this situation, Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus has presented a better argument than the Rabbanan. How so? So the Gemara says, we'll say, why is it that ultimately, again, if you have less than three grisin in one place, that we're not choshesh? The aminon betray yomi chazise, because it's possible that lamaisa these emissions occurred ultimately when in 2 days, right? Over the course of 2 days, not over the course of 3 days. I shlosha grisim b'makom echa nami neima tarti upalga megufa chazise v'idach agav zuama dam macholasu. So why don't they say the same thing? When she finds three grisin in one place, why don't I say that halacha lamaisa, 2.5 of those grisin ultimately came from her, and some part of this stain is dam macholas, is blood, ultimately, again, from some other external source. Dam macholas literally means blood from a louse. It means blood from some type of external source. V'rabbanon, kevan de'ika lefluge begris v'o d'chol yom alo talinon. So we'll say, whereas Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus will say, that halacha lamaisa, you could be tola, ultimately, again, a case of three grisin, to even 2.5 from her body and another part of the blood from somewhere else, thereby kind of circumventing the issue of zivos, the Rabbanon are not tola like that. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, gimel grisin b'makom echad hu d'lo chashinon, ha b'gimel makom mos chashinon. And even Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, he's not choshesh for three grisin in one place. But ultimately, again, if there were to be three different stains in three different places, ultimately, again, he would be choshesh. I ha'amrit b'gimel chalukosin b'gimel makom oslo. But beforehand, we just said that ultimately it's only problematic if it's three different garments, but not in three different places on the same garment. To which the Gemara says, "Divrei Rabbanan kamar." This is Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus speaking to the Rabbanan. Lididi b'gimel chalukosin b'gimel makom oslo. Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus says, "As for me, it is only a problem if what? If ultimately it's three stains on three different garments." But if it's three stains in three different places on the same garment, that does not pose a problem. Elo l'didochu, but according to you, Rabbanon, odu li mihas teheichad dechazoi gimel grisin b'makom echad, but at least agree with me, Rabbanon, that if she finds three grisin concentrated in one place, de aminon trei upalgam migufa chazisei, v'idach agav zuama dam macholasu. But at least agree with me that halacha l'maisa, that if what? That if she finds three grisin in one place, concentrated in one place, that we do not attribute that ultimately again to three different stains, but rather again we'll attribute that to some part from her body, but some part of it may be attributable to an external source as well. But the Rabbanan will say, Kevan de'ika lifluge. All right, can you just tell them just to be a little bit quieter? Thank you. But Rabbanan, Kevan de'ika lifluge begris v'od l'chol yoma lo talinon. And the Rabbanan will say as follows, that since halacha l'maisa, you can go ahead and attribute it to a gris and a bit for each and every day. Thank you. Ultimately, again, we will not be told that. So I will say, so fundamental distinction over here is in the following situation, that if you find the concentration of blood that is enough to represent three grisin, right? Remember again, a gris is the minimum amount of a discharge that will be halachically problematic. If you find that amount, you find three grisin, which is the problematic amount to potentially make her a zava gedola, or at least a zava misafek, so how do we treat that? So we see fundamental machlokes, and we see some saying that some in general can never create a zivos. Others explain that no, it could create a zivos, but it depends how you find it. You have to find three stains on three different garments, or three stains, distinct stains, even if they're on the same garment. Or some say, no, even if you just find one big stain that is more than three grisin, you could even interpret that to mean three independent discharges on the same place. So fundamental machlokes. Ten rabbanim. Haroa kesem. So let's say if a woman sees a kesem, second to last line on beis on beis. Woman sees a kesem. Yesh bo kedei lechalik gimel grisin. If you have the ability to take that large kesem and divide it up into three smaller ksamim, each of a gris, shein kegris v'od, each of them representing a gris and a little bit more. What's the halacha? Choshesh. Ultimately, again, she will have to be choshesh for zivus. V'im lav, but if not, so if the stain in question is not the size of three grisin plus, then there is no need for her to be choshesh. Rabbi Huda ben Igro, Rabbi Huda ben Igro says, Rabbi Yossi, achas zu, the achas zu choshesh. And I will say, this is fascinating. And here we come to something very interesting. Look at the last Rashi on the daf. Achas zu v'achas zu, afilu b'shtei grisin. Rabbi Yossi comes along Rabbi Huda ben Igro, and the name of Rabbi Yossi, and says, even if you only have two grisin, you have to be choshesh for zivus. Why is that? Listen to this. Choshishin, look at your last Rashi. Afilu b'shtei grisin, choshishin shema, ra'asa osan b'shnei b'in hashmashos, o achas hayom v'achas b'in hashmashos sham machar, o re'iyas b'in hashmashos, ola l'shnei yamim, shemiktsasa min hayom, o miktsasa min halayla, the Yeshua Shalshur Tzufin. Rabbi said, this is incredible, right? So if somebody ever asks you, tell me, how can you ever have three discharges that could really create the Zuck? It happens. Elevator talk, you know, things like that. And so I'll say, so yeah, how can you ever have, right, Shtei Re'ios, or really Shtei Ksamim, that could ultimately, again, result in Zava Gidola? It was actually quite amazing. Bein Hashmashos. That if one of these Ksamim ultimately, again, appears, right, if one of these ksamim appears, bein hashmashos, or there's the, let me say it differently. If you're choshesh that they came about bein hashmashos, a discharge that occurs bein hashmashos could actually be reckoned as two discharges, right? Because if something occurs bein hashmashos, and the possibility that it's both yom and laila, so there's a possibility that one discharge ultimately again counts as two. So this is great. So up until now, we've been assuming that in order for a kesem to be problematic, it has to be the size of three grisin, and that represents three re'ios. Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, the name Rabbi Yossi, is saying, no, it could even be that b'shtei grisin, with two grisin, we'd have to be choshesh, because maybe one of those grisin came about bein hashmashos, and therefore ultimately again counts as two. Top of Nun Gimel. Amar Rabbi says, Nirin di Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, b'shelo badga, v'divrei chachamim b'shebadga. So Rabbi comes along and says, it would appear that halacha l'maisa, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra's statement makes sense when she didn't do a bedika. But the words of the chachamim, were, and therefore again, we're not sure, maybe it did occur bein hashmashos, in which case again, even two could be the equivalent of three. But the position of the chachamim would take place when b'shebadga, ultimately, again, when she did a bedika, and therefore not choshesh for bein hashmashos. So, Gemara, so let's analyze this. My badko, my la badko. What are you talking about when you say checking and not checking? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, listen to this. Ashke chesinu le rab, baran de be rav, diasi v'kamri. So I came across the rabbinical students in yeshiva of Rav, and they explained as follows. Hacha ma'askinon, what's the case here? Kegon shebadka atzma v'la badka chaluka. I will say the case in question over here is when she went ahead and she checked herself bein hashmashos. So she did an internal examination bein hashmashos, but she did not check her clothing. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Kishabatka atzma kol shnei bein hashmashos v'lo batka chaluka b'shnei yamim ela begimol umatza beis grisin. Ulefish lo batka chalukat hina lo yada me'imas heim. Lefichach yesh lochush shema b'shnei ben hashmashos ra'asa o achas biomishon v'achas ben hashmashos shamachar davel gimurah. So what's the case over here is where she did a personal bedika, an internal bedika, but she did not check her clothing. So now what's the problem? And even when she checked herself, Rabbi said, when did she check herself? By the bein hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to see what this in just a moment, uba bein hashmashos Rabbi Yossi lo batka. But ultimately, again, by the bein hashmashos Rabbi Yossi, she did not do a bedika. So Rabbi said, look at Rashi, this is incredible. So Rashi goes back to Masechah Shabbos, Mirtz Hashem Bekarov. We're going to be back there. Mirtz Hashem. We'll say fundamental machlokas by Ben Ashmashos. When is Ben Ashmashos? Look at Rashi. Ben Ashmashos Rabbi Yehuda. Bebamem adlikin hichsif ha'elyon velo hichsif ha'tachton. V'shi'uro chatzimyo. So we'll say, listen to this. The Ben Ashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda is when the upper horizon is dark, but the lower horizon is still red. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that is Bein Hashmashos. And that goes on for the amount of time that it takes to walk a mil. How long does it take? A mil is 18 minutes. Half a mil is 9 minutes. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Hashmashos is a 9-minute time period where the upper horizon is dark, lower horizon is reddish. Over Rabbi Yossi Abosei holds that when it's Bein Hashmashos, Keherefayin ubesof hayom. Rabbi Yossi holds that Ben Hashmashos is the blink of an eye. At the end of the day, Zenichnas Zez. Rabbi Yossi, just so you know, the way it works in Halacha is pretty much after sunset, all heck breaks loose, right? In other words, it's like Halachic Wild West, right? In other words, essentially, the Shita doesn't happen because sunset is a discernible event. It's recognizable. With one exception, you see, Rabbi Yossi, you would think that there's no machlokis in sunset. There's almost no machlokas in sunset. There's one opinion, the opinion of the Yireim. The Sefer Yireim holds that sunset occurs 18 minutes before we go ahead and see sunset. We are normally not choshesh for the opinion of the Yireim, except Erev Shabbos. I said the concept of lighting candles 18 minutes before Shkia, 18 minutes before sunset, that's why you have 18 minutes. Do not use those 18 minutes. Right? That's not like a suggestion. That's halacha. You should start Shabbos by halakas neros. But the reason why you have some level of flexibility with those 18 minutes is because Erev Shabbos, we are choshesh for the opinion of the Yireim. The Yireim says that Shkia is 18 minutes before. So again, we don't really accept that opinion, because if we really accepted that opinion, then you wouldn't be permitted to do malacha during those 18 minutes. But Lamai said that's where the 18 minutes come from. That's the opinion of Yireim. So what you see over here is as follows. Once the sun goes down, however, a total variety of opinions. So interestingly enough, now that we brought up the discussion of Ben Hashmashos, as we're going to see, there's a machlokis in Ben Hashmashos, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that ultimately, again, it's a time which occurs sometime after sunset. Upper horizon is dark, lower horizon is light, right? Or reddish, not really light, reddish. And it goes on for about 9 minutes. Rabbi Yossi, Ben Hashmashos is terrifying. It's the blink of an eye, and it's that transition between day and night. Okay, to which the Gemara says, how do we plug this in over here? Drabanan sabri be Ben Hashmashos, Rabbi Yossi laylahu, Drabanan hold, that by the time you get to the Ben Hashmashos, Rabbi Yossi, obviously you understand, the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi is later than the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's later on. So the Rabbanon hold that the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi is Laila. They already hold by the time you get to the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi, that's already night. V'ha batka b'Ben Hashmashos Rabbi Yehuda. And ultimately, again, when is she doing her bedikos? She's doing her bedikos, ultimately, again, during the Ben Hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Latame, and Rabbi Yossi goes according to his reasoning, Da'amar, Ben Hashmashos Sveikahavi. Rabbi Yossi holds, Rabbi Yossi, that in general, the period of Ben Hashmashos, Rabbi Yossi, there's two machloksim when it comes to Ben Hashmashos. Machlokis number one is, when is Ben Hashmashos? And machlokis number two is, what is the status of Ben Hashmashos? So Rabbi Yossi Latame, Da'amar, Ben Hashmashos Sveikahavi. Ben Hashmashos ultimately, again, is almost like a halachic no man's land. It's safek. The amina lehu ana. Imole yadea be'enea ka Ben Hashmashos yafe ata omrim. And Rabbi Yossi was like this. And I say to Rabbanan as follows. Literally translated, if her hand was in her eye, the entire Ben Hashmashos, then you're saying good. Or else the hand in your eye is a euphemism for bediga. Right? So ultimately, again, if she was checking herself the entire period of Ben Hashmashos, then you'd be saying good. Achshav shema msiluk yadea rasa. But perhaps, again, it's possible that, again, she's obviously not checking herself the entire Ben Hashmashos. And perhaps, ultimately, again, when she went ahead and withdrew her hand, that's when she bled. Va'amruli, ki kaminon, and they said back to me, when do we hold our position? Kishenasna yadea be'eneha kol Ben Hashmashos. Inachinami, right? Therefore, they say we only espouse our position when, in fact, she was doing a bedika the entire Ben Hashmashos. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says as follows. Nirin div Rebbe Huda ben Igra, bishalo badka. it would appear that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra applies when she did not do B'digra. But remember again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra is the opinion mentioned on the last line of Nun Beis Amad Beis, where he says that halacha l'maisa, even a ri'iyah of two grisin and a bit can cause a problem. Why? Because what's the possibility? Maybe one of these ksamim occurred ben hashmashos, in which case, again, bless you, you could have a keseb that is one kesem that is reckoned as two potential rios, because maybe it went through day and night. So says the Gemara, Rabbi says, when near and dear Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, kishala batka. So I agree with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra when what? When she didn't do a bedika. My lo batka, what does it mean she didn't do a bedika? Ilema de batka bid Rabbi Yehuda v'lo batka bid Rabbi Yossi. Maybe she did a bedika during the ben hashoshes Rabbi Yehuda, but not during the ben hashoshes Rabbi Yossi. Michlad Rabbi Yehuda savar af agav de batka bid tarbayhu chaysha. Is that to say that ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehuda would hold? Right, Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra would hold that Allah Chalamaisa, even though she did a badika, by both of the ben Hashemashas would still be choshesh. Habadka, so the Gemara says, Habadka, ala pshita de lo badka, lo bid Rabbi Yehuda v'lo bid Rabbi Yossi. Rather, I must say that what's the case when Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra holds that you have to be choshesh, that two ksamim could be equal to three? That's when she didn't do a badika during any of the ben Hashemashas, right? Not during the ben Hashemashas of Rabbi Yehuda and not during Rabbi Yossi. Ava badka Rabbi Huda, for La Badka but Rabbi Yossi. But if she did a Badika during the Ben Hashosh Rabbi Huda, but not during the Ben Hashosh Rabbi Yossi, Lo Chaysha. Then ultimately again, we would not be Choshesh ultimately again for a Ben Hashmashas Kesem. Alma, Ben Hashmashas Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Laila. Therefore, we'll say, what do you see? That according to Rabbi, the Ben Hashmashas of Rabbi Yossi is already considered to be Laila. I am a Seifa. Look at the end of the Raisa. But Divrei Chachamim, Kishe Badka, the Chacham hold their position when she did a Badika. My Badka, what's the case of Badka? Ilema de Badka, Bid Rabbi Huda, Vala Badka, Bid Rabbi Yossi. Maybe you're going to say she did a Badika by Ben Hashosh Rabbi Huda, and not the Ben Hashosh Rabbi Yossi. Mechlad Rabbanan Savri, Afal Gav de Lo Badka, Bid Tarbai, Hulo Chashinan. But if that's the case, the position of Rabbanan would be that even if she did not do a Badika by either of the shitas of Ben Hashmashos, we would not be choshesh. So hala badka, she didn't do badika. But we'll say first wide line, Ella pshita de badka bein Rabbi Yehuda bein Rabbi Yossi. Rather, it's clear that what's the case? She did badikos during both periods of Ben Hashmashos. Ava badka bid Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo badka bid Rabbi Yossi. But ultimately, again, if she did a badika by Ben Hashmashos Rabbi Yehuda and not of Ben Hashmashos Rabbi Yossi, chashinan, we will be choshesh ultimately. Remember again, when we say choshesh, we're choshesh for that one kesem that could equal two if it spanned ben hashmashos. Alma ben hashmashos Rabbi Yossi l'Rabbi Svekahavi. Therefore, the ben hashmashos of Rabbi Yossi, in accordance with the position of Rabbi, is a period of suffix. So here's the problem: kashya de Rabbi ad Rabbi. That's an inherent contradiction in Rabbi. Halachikam Lezuda means to say, Niren devi Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra l'Rabbanan. So we'll say ultimately the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra seems to be tenable according to the Rabbanon. One, when she did not do a bedika at all. She didn't do a bedika during any period of Ben Hashmashos. Lo bid Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo bid Rabbi Yossi. Sha'af chachamim lo nechleku alav, because even the chachamim are only cholik on Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra when ela debadka bid Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo badka bid Rabbi Yossi. When she did a badika during the Ben Hashoshes Rabbi Yehuda, but not a Rabbi Yossi, aval heicha de la badka klal. But if she didn't do a badika at all during Ben Hashmashos, then what? Module. Then ultimately, again, even the Rabbanon will agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra that in the absence of any badika during Ben Hashmashos, we have to be choshesh. Then maybe one stain equals two. So even if she only finds a stain of two grisin and more on her garment, that perhaps again is problematic. Or minhu will raise a kasha. Haroa kesem l'ri'iya meruba choshashes. We'll say if a woman sees a kesem, and it's what's called a ri'iya meruba. Ri'iya meruba means what? That it's a significant amount of blood in the stain of gimel grisim, right? Three grisim or more. Choshashes. Ultimately, again, she must be choshashes. So the Gemara says l'ri'iya mu'etes eno choshashes. But ultimately, again, if the stain itself is smaller, i.e. less than three grisim, then there is no need for her to be choshesh about anything. Zu divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, sha'amar mishum Rabbi Yossi. Right? So ultimately, again, these those Rabbi Huda ben Igra, we've seen Rabbi Yossi. So I'll say only if it's what's called a kesem meruba, or right? Haroa kesem l'ri'ia meruba. A large kesem she has to be chosheshes, a smaller one she would not. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, ani shamati mimenu, sha'achas zu va'achas zu chosheshes. Rabbi said, I heard whether it's what's called the kesem of a ri'ia meruba or a kesem of a ri'ia mu'etes, ultimately, again, she must be chosheshes. Uminatam hazeh amrali. And here was the logic. Uma ilo, ma ilu nida, shalefrisha betara minamin cholamala, lo te becheskas tmeya. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shalefrisha betara, it's six lines up from the bottom. When it comes to nida, right, when it comes to nida, shalefrisha betara minamin, so what's this case? Look at Rashi. Shalefrisha betara, b'shvi'i shelo batka bin ha-shasha. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting fact here. If you remember again, we've spoken about a number of times that biblical nida is how long? How long? 7 days. So we'll say, so what that means is as follows. Halacha l'maisa, a woman goes in and bleeds, she becomes a nida for 7 days. What happens at the end of those seven? Now, what's the start? What happens to happen during those 7 days? Right? Doesn't make a difference, right? Whatever it is. She bleeds, she doesn't bleed, she bleeds 5 days, she bleeds 3 days, she bleeds 7 days. Doesn't make a difference. She goes to the mikvah, night number eight. However, what must happen is, at the end of those 7 days, she must do a badika. She must do a badika to indicate that what? That the bleeding has ceased. So very interesting. So contemporarily, what we call today a hefsek tara, which is the bedika that a woman normally does at the end of 5 days to transition into her shiva nikiyim. So ultimately and biblically, a woman would do at the end of the 7 days of her nidus to show that she had stopped bleeding. Then she could go to the mikvah. So listen to this case. What about a situation where as follows? Nida shlo hifrisha betara mina mincha ulamala. What happens? If a nida did not go, a woman who's a nida did not do Rashi says shalefisha betara b'shvi shalabatka b'nashmashas. So we'll say it's now her seventh day. She wants to go to the mikvah that night, but she failed to do a bedika. So what's the halacha? Nida shalefisha betara min amincha lemala lo te becheskas tmeya. Will she not go ahead and remain in the cheskas tmeya? In other words, also without that bedika, she remains in the cheskas tmeya. Look at Rashi. Lo te becheskas tmeya ve'ino tovelas li'erev. She obviously cannot go to the mikvah that night. V'yafa pi shefisha betara shachris. Alma misherasa havia kol yom mecheskas chozeres v'roa ad gimar hayom. So we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Let's say in this case over here, she didn't do a bedika in the evening, but she did do a bedika that morning. Nevertheless, the bedika of the morning does not allow her to go to the mikvah that night. Why? Because that entire seventh day, she is becheskas chozeres v'roa. So we'll say, essentially during the 7 days of nidus, her chazaka is that what? What's her chazaka? That she bleeds. So ultimately, again, the only way for her to go to the mikvah that night is how? Is if halacha lemaisa, she does a bedika that evening. Finish the Rashi. Afzu hoyo v'lobadka bin hashmashos. Hoyo v'lobadka bin hashmashos shalim. Ikol ha-meichas tom sof bin hashmashos rasa. V'yodosh ira. So we'll say, so too over here in this case. So just like a nida, if the evening of the seventh day, meaning the end of the seventh day, she doesn't do another badika, so halacha she can't go to the mikvah that night. So the Gemara says, so too over here, in this case over here, we have to be choshesh, that maybe she saw a kesem ben hashmashos, or as we'll say, I should say it differently. Once she saw a kesem, we must be concerned that halacha lemaisa that occurred ben hashmashos, v'nirin dvarav kishabatka, and ultimately again his words make sense when she did a bedika, my batka. Rabbi say, what does it mean she did a bedika? To which the Gemara says, actually he adds in over here in the Agos it's Yunin, the lo chayshin on kishabatka, that we need not be choshesh when she did a bedika. What's the bedika? My batka, ilim but the batka but Rabbi Huda v'lo batka but Rabbi Yosi. If you want to say she did a bedika, the ben hashoshes Rabbi Huda not bedika Rabbi Yosi. Michlad Rabbi Huda ben Igra Savar afagav de lo batka lo Rabbi Huda Rabbi Yosi lo chaysha. Then Rabbi say, would that mean that according to Rabbi Huda ben Igra, even if she didn't do a bedika during either opinion of ben hashmashos, that he would not be choshesh? V'halo batka, that can't be because she didn't do a bedika. Elapshita de batka bein Rabbi Huda bein Rabbi Yosi. Right? The Rabbi say, what's the case? She did a bedika both according according to both opinions of Ben Ashmashas, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra Savard Batka ben Rabbi Yehuda, Vela Batka ben Rabbi Yossi, Lo Chaisha. Rabbi Yossi, can we infer from that that Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra would hold that if she did a Badika by the Ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yehuda, but not Rabbi Yossi, that she would not be Choshesh? Amma ben Ashmashas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, Lailo. Rather, what do you see from here? That it must be according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, heals that Ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yossi is already considered to be Laila. Kasha Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra, Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra. Plus, you have a contradiction of Yehuda ben Igra. Bishlama below Rabbi lo kasha. So, plus, without Rabbi's interpretation, there's no contradiction. Hasam debatka be Rabbi Yehuda, below batka Rabbi Yossi. First, it would be a case of where ultimately when she does a bedika in the ben Ashoshas of Rabbi Yehuda, but not in the ben Ashoshas of Rabbi Yossi. Hacha debatka nami be Rabbi Yehuda, be Rabbi Yossi. Ella be Rabbi kasha. I will say, but in Rabbi's sheet itself, there's a contradiction. To which the Gemara says, "You're right." Trei tanoi va'alib with Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra. As Rabbi said, there are two tanoim with two different interpretations of the position of Yehuda ben Igra. Hai tana savar shalom ben Ashmashos Rabbi Yehuda v'hader chayol ben Ashmashos Rabbi Yossi. So both say, in fact, what it turns out over here is there is a fundamental machlokus in ben Ashmashos. So both say, interestingly enough, this is not really a fundamental. I mean, there is a fundamental machlokus in ksamim, right? We saw that already in the Mishnah. Can ksamim in general create a zivos problem? So that we've already seen. We've also already seen what? How do you, even if you hold that ksamim can cause a zivos problem, right? Rabbi said, then what's the further machlokus? In what context or in what situation do ksamim cause a problem? Is it ultimately, again, even 3 grisim worth of, we'll call it, stainage in one area on one beged? Is it 3 independent stains, but on one beged? Or is it 3 independent stains on what? 3 different begadim. So that was some machlokes. And I don't think Gemara is saying, in fact, in Rabbi, so must remember again, everything is going back to Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra. Right, Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra said on Amud Beis that what? That halach, he introduced this new idea. What's his dramatically new life-changing idea? That what? 2 can equal 3. 2 could equal 3. What are you talking about? I'll say, like most things in life, timing is everything, right? That ultimately, again, if there is a kesem that occurs ben ashmashas, because ben ashmashas is this interesting time of day that could count as both day and night, you could have 2 ksamim that really turn into 3 if one of them occurred ben ashmashas. So I'll say what that does is that now triggered a whole discussion about Ben Ashmashas. Oh, when is Ben Ashmashas? Who is Ben Ashmashas are you talking about? Are you talking about ultimately, again, the Ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yehuda? That's what? And sooner after sunset, where the upper horizon is dark, lower horizon is reddish, the last for 9 minutes. Or are you speaking about the later Ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yossi? But also, remember again, I didn't point this out before, Rabbi Yossi's Ben Ashmashas is when it's Keherefayin. That moment, that is later. That is later. According to Rabbi Yehuda, by the time you get into the Ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yossi, what is Rabbi Yehuda hold the Ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yossi? It's nighttime already. I also remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, just so you should know, this is where all of these discussions, ultimately, again, of like Zman Rabbi Nitam, 72 minutes later, all what we're going to see, I'll say, I think there's 20 blot left to Shas. Is that about right? I don't know. The Aguda didn't send out its 57 emails today, so I don't know where we're up to. But I think Friday was 22. I think Friday was 22. So we're going to see when we get back to brachas. This is the beginning of brachas. We're going to all get into all of these incredible sugyas. Shabbos is not coming back, so the Gemara says as follows. So what's the case? So we have 2 tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Igra. So here we go. So the Gemara says, "Hai tana savar." The first tana holds shalom ben Ashmashas to Rabbi Yehuda v'hadra amud beis v'hadra chayil ben Ashmashas Rabbi Yossi. It is only, so one tana holds. It is only after the ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yehuda comes to an end, then the ben Ashmashas of Rabbi Yossi begins. Rashi says over here. First Rashi on the base. V'hadam asked Rabbi Yossi u'sveikahu. So Ben Ashmashas Rabbi Yossi. V'hai tana sabar Ben Ashmashas Rabbi Yossi meishich shayich b'Rabbi Yehuda. The other opinion holds that what the Ben Ashmashas ultimately again of Rabbi Yossi is meishich shayich. Look at Rashi. Muvlahu v'sokshah Rabbi Yehuda v'chevan delididei ba'inan kal Ben Ashmashas Rabbi Yehuda. So the other opinion holds that in fact the Ben Hashoshos of Rabbi Yossi is actually included, is mufla, is swallowed up in the Ben Hashoshos of Rabbi Yossi. So now, just when we thought at least we got the Machlokos of Ben Hashoshos down, right? I thought again, Rabbi Huda holds Ben Hashoshos, upper horizon dark, lower horizon reddish, 9 minutes. Rabbi Yossi, Kerefayim. I will say, I assume Kerefayim means what? Kerefayim means later on, when pretty much the horizon is already dark, but there's that moment that switches over between day and night. Now, Rabbi Yossi, it turns out that there's a machlokes in the machlokes. Right? So there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Now there's a machlokes in what Shitas Rabbi Yossi really is. Is Shitas Rabbi Yossi ultimately, again, like the first opinion that says, Shalom Ben Hashoshos Rabbi Yehuda, only after the Ben Hashoshos Rabbi Yehuda comes to an end, does the Ben Hashoshos or Rabbi Yossi begin? Or do we say, no, that in fact, Rabbi Yossi's Ben Hashoshos is in fact what? Somewhere inside those 9 minutes of Rabbi Yehuda. Incredible. So Rabbi Yossi said, this in and of itself is a machlokis, and this machlokis ultimately plays out by the Ksamim case. Incredible. Incredible. Ten Rabbanon. Weiter. Haroa kesem. Woman sees a kesem. Metame atzma, the kachin mafred divrebi. So both says Rabbi holds that what? She's metame herself, in other words, personal tumah. Rashi says, metame atzma, tumea atzma, haroa kesem, metame atzma, lataru sekachim. So both say, ultimately, again, we're going to see what this means. A woman sees a kesem, so she sees a stain, right? Assuming that, again, the coloration is red, one of the problematic colors. It's the size of a gris or more. Shabbos said, what's the impact of that? She is metame herself and kachim lemafreya. Shabbos said, what that means is retroactively. Now, what is retroactive? How far do you go back? So, remember again, up until this point in time, whenever we see retroactivity in Hilchos Nida, we always assume that it means what? Right? Either me'es le'es 24 hours or what we saw from the first Mishnah Nida, Shabbos said. Right? What was the first Mishnah Nida? Yeah, pekidla pekidla, maybe to the last bedika. Here, remember again, what are we talking about? We're talking about over here a stain found on a garment of clothing. So, mafreya Rashi says means adshas hakibus. That ultimately, again, her tumah goes retroactively back to when? To the last time she laundered the clothing. Which is a different way of saying, to the last time she knows that the clothing was definitely clean, i.e. without stain. So therefore, again, a woman sees a kesem. She is metame atzma in kachim. Rashi says, haroa kesem metame atzma letaros of the kachim. Shabbosai, which means there's retroactive tumah for kachim purposes, right, sacrificial purposes, taros. What does taros include? Right, trumas, right, truma meiser. So until the last time she knows what's going, that's Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, kachim metame atzma in metame. Rabbi Shimon says, retroactivity, Rabbi will say, which is a chumrah. Retroactivity only applies to what? Only applies to kachim, doesn't apply to anything else. Rabbi will say, makes sense. The holier something is, the more sensitive it is to tumah. So we'll retroactively back up her tummy status to the last time she knew this garment was clean for kachim purposes, but not for anything else. Shelo yehei kisma chamer meri yasa. Because Rabbi will say, a kesem can't be any more chamer than a ri'iya. Right? What does that mean? Say, look at Rashi. Chamer miri yasa. Lemafreya de la ri'asa lo havi elame eis leis. The kisma shatzkis. Well, listen to this. This is actually quite amazing. Because what are we saying over here? Remember again, ri'iya. Also remember again, the most machmir position for ri'iya was what? 24 hours. And I will say, remember again, laundering, you know, right? I will say, contemporarily, one of the greatest theological challenges that we encounter is laundry and chalamayit. Right? Laundry and chalamayit, is it possible that a person is not going to do laundry, right? For 2 days, for 3 days. So I say, because again, obviously our laundering habits have changed significantly over time. So I say, you're talking about the last time she laundered a garment. I will say, that could be for who knows how long. Which so is something amazing just happened. When it comes to a ri'iya, right, the most machmir period of time that will back up retroactive tumas 24 hours. Now you're introducing the concept of a kesem, and we're going to say that a kesem creates retroactive tumah until when? Till the last time she laundered the garment. I don't know, when was that? So the Gemara says, Shloye kisma chamriyasa, v'hamatzinu kisma chamriyasa, and yun kachim. But 1 second, you just make kesemim more machmir than ri'iyos by what? By kachim. What did you just say? You just said that halacha l'maaseh, if she finds a kesem on her garment, So we back up her tuma status retroactively. Lagabi kachim until when? Till the last time she laundered their garment, which I was like, could have been days ago, could have been a week ago. So you're telling me now that a kesem is more chamer than a re'iyah. When I started Maseches Neilah learning about Re'iyah, she had a discharge, she has Re'iyah. So again, I don't know when the discharge occurred. So what did we see? Should be Machmir Me'eis Le'eis. 24 hours. That's the most Machmir sheet, right? Remember what I was saying? Remember the Maseches Neilah? Right? Machlogus, Shammai, Beis Hillel. So that was, bless you, that was Re'iyah. Now you're telling me that if she finds a Kesem, you're going to back up her status, her tummy status, vis-a-vis Kachim, till the last time she learned the garment. You're right. So this is Mara Ella Tani Haki. This after Shimon Elazar Omer Af Kachim Eino Metame Shaloye Kisma Chamer Marias LeChodor. But rather, Shimon Elazar says no. That Halacha LaMaisa, we do not retroactively apply the status of Ksamim at all, in order that Ksamim should not be more Machmir ultimately again than what? Than Reios. Tan Rabbanon. So what's we go by to Tan Rabbanon? Rasa Kesem VeAchakach Rasa Dam. What's another interesting case? What happens? She sees a kesem, and then she sees blood. This is actually a fascinating case. Look at Rashi. Rasa kesem ba'achak rasa dam. So we'll say, so machlokes, by the way, just so you understand, fundamental machlokes, regarding what do you do regarding mafreya status for ksanim. So we'll say, just want to point out, this is a machlokes, right? Rebbe holds that halachin lamaisa, we apply retroactivity to ksanim. Apply retroactivity to when, Rabosai? To when? It's not a trick question. The last time she laundered the garment. Right? Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, no, we do not apply retroactivity to Ksamim. Why? Because what's going to happen then? Ksamim become more chumer than Re'ios. Next case. Rasa kesem ahagach rasa dam. We'll say, what happens if she sees a kesem? And then what? Look at Rashi. Rasa kesem ahagach rasa dam. Besoch me'is leis. So we'll say, so what happens if she goes ahead and she sees a kesem, and then she sees a flow of blood. So she sees a stain in her garment, then she experiences a re'iyah, right, within 24 hours. What's the halacha? Tola kisma beri'iyasa me'eis leis divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe holds that it was essentially, we attach that kesem to that re'iyah, as long as the re'iyah occurred within 24 hours of the kesem. Look at Rashi. Tola kisma beri'iyasa va'arminan hai kesem midam nidos zehu utahora milatame achas akibos ella mishematzo labos. So we'll say, now watch this. What does that do if you attach the kesem ultimately again to the re'iyah? What does that do? That prevents retroactivity. Instead, what we'll say is, she'll become tamea as of when? From the time she found the kesem. That's when we realize, because again, you can't ignore the kesem. So she'll become tamea from the time of the kesem. But we need not go ahead and back up her tamea status retroactively to the last time she laundered the garment. So we'll say, remember it again. Even Rebbe, who we just read a few lines ago, even Rebbe, who says that for ksamim, you can apply retroactivity, will agree to the last time she laundered the garments, will agree we don't do that when? When ultimately, again, the kesem is followed by a re'iyah. Then we'll attach that kesem to the re'iyah. Now, obviously, you can't ignore the kesem, so she'll have to become tamer from the time that she saw the kesem, but there's no retroactivity there. Shimon Elazar Omer, yomo. Shimon Elazar says it only applies to the same day. What does it mean? Look at Rashi. Yomo. Imrasa bo bayom tola. Vim shaka chama afapi shirasa b'sach me'eis leis in a Torah. So let's listen to this. Shimon Elazar says the only time you could attach the kesem to the re'iyah is when? When they occur on the same day. We'll say, but which day? Calendrical day. But so if the kesem and the re'iyah occur on the same calendrical day, then we'll attach them. But however, again, if the kesem and the re'iyah apply on two different calendrical days, even though they're occurring within 24 hours of each other, we treat them separately. Amar Rabbi says, Nirin Dvarav mi Dvari. So Rabbi says, I think that the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, I accept his words over my words. Why? Shehu mitakna va'anima avsa. Ultimately, again, because he helps her and I put her at a disadvantage. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Mitakna avusim avsa. They both say no. In fact, it's just the opposite. In this case, Rebbe's shita is better for the woman than Reb Shimon's. Why? Because also remember again, Rebbe allows the woman to attach the kesem to the Re'iya within 24 hours. It's a much larger window. Reb Shimon only allows, essentially, again, for one calendrical day. Ravina Efoch. Ravina says, you're right, switch it around. The Rebbe says, I think my position is better than Reb Shimon's opinion because I help her, he does not. Rebbe says, Efoch. So Rabbi ultimately says that I say that halacha lemaisa, my position is better. My position is better ultimately again than Reb Shimon's because I allow a larger window. Good. So the Gemara says, Reb Nachman, I'm the olam lo sefoch. Reb Nachman says, no. In fact, don't switch it around. Why? Shehu metakin hilchosel lideziva. Right? Va'ani ma'aves hilchosel lideziva. Because ultimately, again, Rebbe says that ultimately, no. So Rav Nachman says, leave Rebbe's position as originally stated. Where Rebbe says, I actually think that Rebbe Shimon is better in this situation than I am. Why? Because he helped Sir and I put her at a disadvantage. How does that happen? I'll say, look at Rashi. Hu mitakin hu choseli de ziva, le'inyan ziva hu mekel. I will say, for Rebbe Shimon, ultimately, again, his position creates a kula leap in terms of zivos. Why? Because essentially it comes out that according to Rabbi Shimon, she'll have a prolonged state of nidos, and zivos won't start until later. Whereas according to Rebbe, in fact, her days of zivos will start earlier. So as I said, obviously for a woman, it is better to be a Nida than a Zava. So we'll say, so again, so Rebbe saying over here that Rebbe Shimon's position, ultimately again, where there is a shorter window, and therefore again, the Kesem is not going to be attached to the Nidos, ultimately again, her Nidos period becomes prolonged. That's actually an advantage for her, because the longer she doesn't, the longer bleeding, or the more the probability that her bleeding won't create the zivos is an advantage. Rebbe says, in my model, the days of zivos come earlier. In Rebbe Shimon's model, the days of zivos come later. So therefore, Rebbe says, even I agree that Rebbe Shimon's position is better here. Rebbe Zeira Rebbe Yasi. Ksamim, Tzrichin Hefsek Tara. Olof. Rebbe said, this is actually a fascinating discussion as well. Do Ksamim require Hefsek Tara or not? We'll say, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Tzrichin Hefsek Tara. Listen to this interesting question. Remember, we said this in Amud Aleph. What happens? When becomes a Nida? And I will say, remember again, in biblical Nida, it's not like today where we have it. We're doing Shiva Nikiyum. A woman ideally does two bedikos, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, or one in the evening. Remember again, that doesn't apply to Hilchos Nida Midaraisa. Hilchos Nida Midaraisa, she becomes a Nida. 7 days, she's considered to be in a state of active bleeding. Whether she bleeds or not is irrelevant. End of the seventh day, she does a bedika. That's called the Hefsek Tara. The goal of that bedika is to come out clean, to show that she has stopped bleeding. And then night number eight, she goes to the mikvah. They ask an interesting shaila. What we've established, Shabbos, is that a woman could become a Nida as a result of a kasem, as a result of a stain. Is she obligated to go ahead and do her Hefsek Tara on day number seven before the evening if she became a Nida as a result of a stain, as opposed to becoming a Nida as a result of a flow? So, Tzichin Hefsek Tara Olo Ishtik. See, he was quiet. Shabbos, remember again, Rabbi Zeira asking Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi didn't respond. He was quiet. He had nothing to respond. Zimnin, sometime later, Ashkech Ediyase V'Kamar. He was right. He found that he was sitting and teaching V'Kamar. Tola Kisma Bereiyasa Me'es Leis Divrei Rabbi. Then remember again, I'll say Rabbi's opinion is that Allah Lamaisa, if she has a kesem and then she has a flow, as long as the flow followed within 24 hours, ultimately again of the kesem, we could attach the kesem to the flow. The advantage of doing that is what? You don't apply any type of retroactivity to the kesem. Rather, the kesem is only problematic from the time that you saw it and forward. Amar Eish Lakish. Amar Eish Lakish V'hu Shabbatka. That's true when, assuming that ultimately again, she did a bedika. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if what? Even if halacha lemaisa, she did not do any kind of bedika. Amar Lei Mechlal. So we'll say again, it sounds like over here you're telling me that ksamim themselves require bedikas, require hefsek tara. Amar le'in. He said, yes, it is true. That ultimately, again, hefsek tara requires a bedika as well. So says the Gemara, "Bahazimnin sagin boiminach." Velo amrit velo midi. But I asked you this question so many times, you never gave me an answer as to whether or not the woman becomes an ida as a result of a kasem. Does she require a hefsek tara or not? I always asked you this question, and you never answered me. Amr lei. So the Gemara says velo midi dilma agav shitvach asyalach. Shabbos said, this is actually interesting. So maybe, again, agav shitvach Shabbos means that maybe as a result that you were going ahead and speaking and learning, that the answer came to you. Shitvach literally means like a flow. Is it because of the flow of the learning, ultimately, again, that the answer came to you? Amra le'in agav shitvai asyali. Yes, it's ultimately, again, Rashi's rehitach. It's a result, ultimately, again, of the flow of learning that the answer came a little bit more easily to me. So I'll say, so interestingly enough, halach lamaisa, what the Gemara seems to say, the way the sugya ultimately seems to end off, is that even in a case where she becomes a nida, ultimately because of what? Because of the kasem, she would still require a hefsek tara at the end of the 7 days in order to be able to go to the mikvah. We'll stop over. I just want to point out, I know you know this, but I will say, but again, remember, all of these halachos that we are seeing over here, we do not contemporarily, of course, observe hilchos nida like this. That's because, remember, we're still operating in a mode where nida and zivos are reckoned as two separate things, right? And depending on when she bleeds, sometimes the discharge of blood will be nidos, sometimes it will be zivos. We have not yet gotten to the sugya, though we will see it in the coming days, of where essentially Chazal pretty much said, we're blending these halachos. We no longer make a distinction between nidos and zivos. Rather, we treat all situations essentially as a hybrid model. Right? Jabba said, that's why, again, we don't have a pure nida model or a pure, well, we kind of just observe like a zava gedola model. That's kind of what we observe, right? That's why we require Shiva Nikim like a Zava. So I'm just pointing out that a lot of these halachos seem a little bit alien, so that's just because they're dealing in a Nidos Zivos construct, whereas the model that we use ultimately blends the two. We'll stop here. Also, we'll begin with the Mishnah tomorrow. Shkoya. We'll say, there are just for the Shul Siyum, there are really only a few Masechtas left. This is it over here. So if you have not yet taken one, and if you're walking with your head down, pretending like you don't hear what I'm saying, right, we'll say, these are it. And by the way, great Masechtas Chulin, Psachim, Erevin. So we got, it's great. Please, if you have not yet taken one, please take one. They're right here.
Just say you're going to start calling people out by name.
Yes. And I'll begin dropping these off at homes if you don't take one. So just save me the trip if you don't mind.